Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I was just having a pretty loud, shouty argument with Grant Paulson over many desks and chairs during the break. He was incredulous to find out that it takes me an hour and 40 minutes pretty much every day, and it took me 2 hours and 10 minutes the other night to get home. When leaving here at, you know, roughly between 4:45 and 5, sometimes 5:10.
Is he, are you saying an hour from the time you leave the building or the hours at the – because you know you stay back
I'm talking about like from the time I get in my car.
God.
I mean, it took me 2 hours and 10 minutes the other night to get 37 miles.
I understand why you're so cranky sometimes. Like that's crankiness worthy. It takes me like far less, probably like 30 minutes if I'm coming from home. You know, 10 minutes from my other job,
yeah,
10, 15
that's
minutes.
Tough. Must be tough being a man.
And I'm already like, I'm cranky from that.
I know you are because I have to deal with your wrath.
Whatever.
All right, let's get to somebody who's never cranky. My longtime amigo. He is the host of Cofield & Company in Las Vegas on ESPN Radio Las Vegas. And as well, UNLV Radio Football Network. Mr. Steve Cofield is with us to get a look-see at the Las Vegas Raiders. Hello, Mr. Cofield. How are you? Nice to talk to you again.
I'm good. I'm so I was impressed by your lying there. I'm cranky all the time. And by the way, I never have to drive more than 24 minutes to get home from my radio show in Vegas.
That's tough. I mean, I don't know how you do it, Mr. Cofield, you know. But I will say, right, I mean, if you had to drive from one end of the strip to the other end of the strip, it could take you 2 days with all the traffic that's built up in Vegas, right?
It's gotten built up. I don't drive the strip. Most locals are never on the strip. I drive around the strip. I know the routes to go around the strip. Yeah. But I will say, good for you, man. That's one of the things about working in the Northeast Corridor. You guys are on the road a lot. I don't think I could do it again.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. All right, so let's get to the football team that you talk about probably a whole lot more than we talk about, and that is the 1-1 Pete Carroll-led Raiders. How disappointing was Monday night beyond just a loss? Was it more than just a loss, or was it just a loss?
I think it's just a loss. I think the Chargers are better than the Raiders, but here's the thing. The Chargers started kind of charging in the fourth quarter and let the Raiders stay in the game. So the Raiders could have pulled it together offensively. They could have gotten a win out of it. It would have been a good upset win. Just so you know, believe it or not, I don't believe this, but the Chargers at the sportsbook are actually the small favorite over the Chiefs to win the division. Denver's still considered, you know, certainly in the mix, even though Bo Nix has been terrible the first two games. So that was a game they could have stolen, but they couldn't pull it together. And I just thought between Geno Smith being inaccurate, I didn't love the brooding on the sidelines. I think that's a bad look. And the other thing is they ran this weird 11-minute drive that spanned the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter when they were down 17-6. I think it was 20-6 at that point. It was like, pick up the pace, pick up
right.
the pace. So that's a game they could have won, Chris.
Why did Pete or Chip Kelly get questions about that at any point this week? I know with a compressed schedule, sometimes it's tough. Why so slow? Is that because everything had gone wrong and they just wanted to make sure that they executed, or any other reason that you could think of?
Mostly because Minter, the DC for Harbaugh and the Chargers, is playing everything on defense to kind of allow you to dink and dunk. And the Raiders were trying to go with some deep shots here and there. They just could not connect, which may suggest that they don't really have a deep threat. They're, you know, they're in love with Dante Thornton, who's a, you know, fourth round pick out of Tennessee, but I don't know if he's there yet as a legit deep threat. So they kind of took what was given to him. But the problem was in that drive, they also didn't run a whole lot. It was just dink and dunk with the pass. Ashton Jeanty, who didn't have a great game, you picked him top 10, use him. He got 11 carries. He got one carry on that drive. I just thought that drive was bizarre. And frankly, when they got the chance, when the Chargers started charging late, Geno Smith just couldn't hook up with people. His inaccuracy really killed him.
Steve Cofield is with us, host of Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas. He has worked nationally on many different networks, and we once worked together a long time ago, a turn of the century in Sin City, and boy, has he become the king of Vegas in the last 25 years. Nice enough to join us at Steve Cofield on X and Twitter. Does some work with UNLV as well. So let's... you mentioned Jeanty, and so far it's been less than, I guess, stellar, I guess you would say, through the first two games. Is it a lack of usage, as you mentioned there? Is it just a rookie being a rookie? Is it a bad offensive line? Is it stuffing eight in the box? How would you kind of meet that out?
I would say an offensive line that is struggling, and I think Jeanty is a little too gung-ho sometimes, so he's got to be a little more patient, but I'd lean heavily on the criticism of the offensive line. Like I said, he had 11 carries for 43 yards in this last game. This stat is amazing, but it's not surprising if you know the Raiders. Ashton Jeanty is only averaging 2.7 yards a carry. Ashton Jeanty is also averaging 2.8 yards after contact. That's bad. I mean, he's basically has no room. He's getting hit basically as soon as he gets a little bit of space.
Right away, yeah.
The O-line is a work in progress, and here's the thing I don't get. The offensive line, so John Gruden got here, you know, years back, and when he came in, the Raiders' offensive line was the top three highest-paid offensive line in football, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, I remember
and
that, yep.
From regime to regime, they have chosen to go with, hey, you know, we're going to have a good left tackle in Colton Miller, who was a first-round pick who Gruden took, and then everyone else on the line, we're going to piece it together. We're going to find guys. We're going to develop guys. We don't need to pay massive money to the offensive line. But that running back number... Josh Jacobs had a couple of good years, and then Josh Jacobs started to fall victim to that, you know, 3.2 yards of carry and getting knocked in the backfield, and they're going with, I don't want to be mean, but this kind of bargain basement, let's try to develop in-house offensive line, and it hasn't worked for now really a fourth straight regime. I don't want to say it's not going to work with this group, but when you look at the PFF numbers on the offensive line, Colt Miller's outstanding. He's got a grade in the 80s. The other guys, they're trying a new center in Jordan Meredith. They've had two guys go at right guard. They're not grading out well. Dylan Parham is a left guard. He's not playing well. And the right tackle, DJ Glaze, is not good. So four of the five positions are struggling, and that's why Ashton Jeanty, I guess he's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. He's trying to get up to speed here, be patient, wait, but he's getting hit often, and then the line is just not delivering, and as a result, they can't run the ball, and they couldn't run the ball last year. And Pete Carroll wants to run the ball. That's why they took a running back with a top 10 pick.
So a great opportunity, obviously, for the Commanders' defensive line to kind of control things at the line of scrimmage like they did in week one against the Giants, like they did not do last Thursday night against the Green Bay Packers. That's a really interesting breakdown. Obviously, Bowers was banged up going into Monday night. Some of his production down because of that. Maybe that's Geno. Maybe that's the injury. Short week doesn't help. But when he's right, is he the best tight end already in the game in your eyes or –
Yeah, I think so. I think he's pretty much a lock for 100 yards, or check that, for 100 catches and, you know, whatever it's going to be, 1,150, 1,200 yards. He's one of the fastest guys, as reliable he is with his hands, and he's amazing. You're catching bad balls. You know, week one, he had a 38-yard reception where I forget what the number was on the miles per hour, but it was not tight end speed. It was freaking, you know, let's say mid-level wide receiver speed. He's awesome. He's awesome. And I do think that did affect their game plan in the game. On Monday night. So Bowers should be closer to, say, 90%. He'll probably be still wearing the brace on the left leg, but he's our number one weapon. Jacoby Myers is a very reliable guy underneath. He does not drop the ball. And what they're trying to develop now are those deep threats, those guys who can really push it down the field. We know the Raiders, going back to Al Davis, have wanted to do that. Do they have those bodies yet? Not exactly.
On the other side of the ball, you and I talked this morning, and we were talking about Max Crosby and how they might use him and I guess some of the Raiders fans are, you know, upset that maybe they're using him in different ways. This week, they've got a really, really advantageous matchup against a rookie in Josh Connerly who struggled big time in the first 2 weeks. Would you expect more of Max in place at left defensive end, or would you still expect them to move him around and try and pick their spots and try and attack from different launch points?
I don't know exactly. I would expect them to stick with what they've been going with, but you make a point. Yeah, one of the posts I was referencing was someone was just putting up the sack numbers, and it was, you know, Max Crosby, one sack and 128 defensive snaps. Miles Garrett, 83 defensive snaps, 3.5 sacks. Trey Hendrickson, 108 snaps, 2 sacks. I don't care about sacks. I mean, I know that's where they make their money. That's the glamour stat. But, you know, pressures, and then what he's doing to freaking blow up the play on the other side, I thought he really disrupted what the Chargers wanted to do. The Chargers got one real good deep shot. A 60-yarder, which was a crippler, mm-hmm. a 60-yarder to Quentin Johnston. But beyond that, they had to do a lot of dink and dunk. And, yeah, they got their yardage, but I thought the defensive backfield did a pretty good job. But I thought a lot of it was Max Crosby blowing things up. I mean, he blew up the run game. The Harbaugh-led Chargers want to run the ball. They couldn't run the ball. He was all over the field. So I think he's going to be used as a more versatile guy, not as a straight edge rusher. And I think that's where he's best. And, if you can do it and you're paying a guy, you know, upwards of $40 million, then use him where he affects the entire defense and not just pass pressure.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Cofield with us, Cofield and Company, ESPN Las Vegas, also UNLV football. Jeremy Chinn was here last year, and I saw him make a nice play defensively in the red zone on third down, knocking away a pass early on Monday night. How has he fit in, and what does he do for this defense? Is he essentially – like here he became a hit stick, but he was limited somewhat in terms of – pass defense, and I think that's why they were willing to let him go. How has the fit been from what you can observe so far for Chinn?
I think the fit's been really good, and I mean, really, they brought him in, one, as a veteran that they could trust in, but two, as a more economical purchase, because they had some safeties last year who were due for their paydays, and they just decided to let him walk. I think the safety situation with the Raiders is fine. Their cornerback, Sitch, is that's where the question is, and the one cornerback position they're really trying to, you know, they drafted a guy in Darian Porter out of Iowa State who didn't have a lot of experience, but he fits the Carroll mode. Like, you could see immediately, Chris, Pete Carroll likes a certain kind of defense. He wants to go back to the Legion of Boom in terms of the body types. So his cornerbacks are going to be more in that 6'1 to 6'3 range, and Porter's gigantic. They've got a local kid, Caillou Blue Kelly, who's playing out at cornerback. And game one, they weren't great. I thought they were a lot better in this game. Obviously there was a safety issue with Polamalu on the pass to Quentin Johnston that, you know, turned into a 60-yarder. So I think Chin's been solid. I don't think spectacular so far. I think in run help, he's been good. Right now the Raiders are playing pretty good on defense, and because the offense is not clicking, and we'll see what happens with Mariota versus Jaden Daniels playing out there. I think this is going to be a grinder. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I think the Raiders' defense can keep them in the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be, you know, maybe a 17-14-ish type game, because I think both offenses, I agree, are going to struggle. One last one for you on the Raiders, and then one on UNLV, and that is on the Raiders – Spytek obviously brought in Tom Brady. Yeah, I mean, that whole big controversy. I'm sure you've talked about that. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but whatever. But Spytek brought in. He was, like, close with Brady. Pete Carroll, a name that a lot of people didn't see connected to the Raiders. How much is the energy different from last year's reincarnation where you had, you know, Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco, and that was a disaster, so much so that they fired both guys after 1 year?
Yeah, it's a more professional organization now. The children, the immaturity is gone. Not to say that Antonio Pierce was a child, but he wasn't ready for the position. Frankly, Josh McDaniels is kind of a jackass. He's not a head coach. It just wasn't a good environment. Then there was also leaks all over the place. Media's finding out about this and that. So they bottled that up. You know, and Spytek coming from the Tampa system, I mean, they draft. I mean, they develop. That's a good organization. So I think Spytek had a pretty good first draft. I mean, obviously, they're going to have to hit on this offensive line stuff, or they're going to have to start spending on it. But, yeah, Pete Carroll coming in, things are loose, but they're professional. So I think – and honestly, the cachet of Brady, I think, has changed things. And, you know, one of the biggest things is they got some new investors. So Mark Davis is, you know, he's still the majority owner, but they got more money. It's a more confident franchise in terms of spending money, spending on players. So things are in good shape. And I don't think the NFL is going to do anything about Brady. Probably say, you know, the optics look bad with you up in the booth. I don't think they can ban him from the booth. The problem is, I'll go back to it again. There was a leak. Someone told Schrager that, you know, they were meeting. Chip Kelly and Tom Brady were meeting a couple of times a week, and that's not something, if they're doing it, you don't want that out there. So whoever leaked that, I'm sure, is not in a real good standing right now with the organization.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, just for my own two cents. I mean, listen, I know everybody loves to hate Tom Brady. I get how it's a conflict of interest, but, you know, I talked to a bunch of people around the league over the last couple of days. They were incredulous. They thought this was the biggest bunch of hooey in the world. Like, you know, if you're smart, and if you're not, that's on you. If you're smart, you ain't telling Tom Brady anything, any trade secrets that he can use as an advantage for the Raiders when you know they're coming up on the schedule. I mean, and game plans are so game-specific anyway. I don't know. I could be wrong. Last one, UNLV. You work with them, obviously, as part of their radio broadcast. Dan Mullen out of the TV booth. And so far, pretty good start. Is UNLV football like a thing, or is it just something that's nice and we'll see what happens?
Yeah, it's getting there. They're building momentum. They won 9 and 11 games the last couple of years. They almost made the college football playoff last year. Boise got them in the Mountain West Conference title game. So, you know, this is a good thing and a bad thing. They're playing in an NFL stadium, so it's great for recruiting. You know, again, the optics are really good. It holds 60,000. So if they can get 35 or 40,000 in there, that's a nice crowd. That's about what they got for UCLA. So things are building. And the biggest positive is they got people fired up, the money people, the casino people, the old money here. They got people fired up. Dan Mullen did. So there's a lot more money coming into the program. And what they can hope for is every year to be a top five, you know, group of six team, as long as the system stays around, and maybe they get that one bid for the college football playoff.
Mr. Cofield, I appreciate you as always. Great to catch up with you both earlier today and today. Great insight, great stuff. Be looking forward to the next time we can chat. Good luck to your Raiders on Sunday, okay?
You know, they're not my Raiders. You know, they're my Jets.
Good luck to them, too. Good luck to them, too. I appreciate you as always, my friend. Thank you.
See ya.
That is Steve Cofield, host of Cofield & Company, ESPN Las Vegas. Back in a flash.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.